The shapes were of great diversity or different aspects of similar shapes. Appendages were seen upon some of them. We are told that some were star-shaped, with transparent appendages. I think, myself, it was a Muhammad and his hijira. May have been only his harem. Astonishing sensation, afloat in space with 10 million wives around one. Anyway, it would seem that we have considerable advantage here, inasmuch as seeds are not in season in April but the pulling back to earth, the bedraggling by those sincere but dull ones of some time ago. We have the same stupidity necessary, functioning stupidity of attribution of something that was so rare that an astronomer notes only one instance between 1845 and 1863, to an everyday occurrence. Or Mr. Waldner's assimilative opinion that he had seen only ice crystals. Whether they were not very exclusive veils of a super harem, or planes of a very light material, we have an impression of star-shaped things with transparent appendages that have been seen in the sky. Hosts of small bodies black, this time that were seen by the astronomers Herrick, Buzballet, and de Cuppies, L.A.N.E. Scientific, 1860-25, vast numbers of bodies that were seen by M. Lamy, to cross the moon, L.A.N.E. Scientific, 1874-62, another instance of dark ones, prodigious number of dark, spherical bodies reported by Messi, June 17, 1777, Arago, Overas, 9-38, considerable number of luminous bodies which appeared to move out from the sun, in diverse directions, seen at Havana. During eclipse of the Sunday May 15, 1836, by Professor Aubert, Poey, M. Poey cites a similar instance, of August 3, 1886, M. Lotard's opinion that they were birds, L. Astronomy, 1886-391, large number of small bodies crossing disk of the sun, some swiftly, some slowly, most of them globular, but some seemingly triangular, and some of more complicated structure, seen by M. Trevelot, who, whether seeds, insects, birds, or other commonplace things, had never seen anything resembling these forms. L.A.N.O.E. Scientific, 1885-8. Report from the Rio de Janeiro Observatory, of vast numbers of bodies crossing the sun, some of them luminous and some of them dark, from some time in December, 1875, until January 22, 1876, La Nature, 1876-384. Of course, at a distance, any form is likely to look round or roundish, but we point out that we have notes upon the seeming of more complex forms. In L. Astronomy, 1886-70, is recorded M. Bruguiere's observation at Marseilles, April 15 and April 25, 1883, upon the crossing of the sun by bodies that were irregular in form. Some of them moved as if in alignment. Letter from Sir Robert Inglis to Col. Sabina, Report British Association, 1849-17. That, at 3 p.m., August 8, 1849, at Guise, Switzerland, Inglis had seen thousands and thousands of brilliant white objects, like snowflakes in a cloudless sky. Though this display lasted about 25 minutes, not one of these seeming snowflakes was seen to fall. Inglis says that his servant fancied that he had seen something like wings on these whatever they were. Upon page 18, of the report, Sir John Herschel says that, in 1845 or 1846, his attention had been attracted by objects of considerable size, in the air, seemingly not far away. He had looked at them through a telescope. He says that they were masses of hay, not less than a yard or two in diameter. Still, there are some circumstances that interest me. He says that, though no less than a whirlwind could have sustained these masses, the air about him was calm. No doubt wind prevailed at the spot, but there was no roaring noise. None of these masses fell within his observation or knowledge. To walk a few fields away and find out more would seem not much to expect from a man of science, but it is one of our superstitions, that such a seeming trifle is just what, by the spirit of an era, we'll call it, one is not permitted to do. If those things were not masses of hay, and if Herschel had walked a little and found out, and had reported that he had seen strange objects in the air, that report, in 1846, would have been as misplaced as the appearance of a tail upon an embryo still in its gastrula era. I have noticed this inhibition in my own case many times. Looking back, why didn't I do this or that little thing that would have cost so little and have meant so much? Didn't belong to that era of my own development. Nature, 22-64. That, at Kattenau, Germany, about half an hour before sunrise, March 22, 1880, an enormous number of luminous bodies rose from the horizon, and passed in a horizontal direction from east to west. They are described as having appeared in a zone or belt. They shone with a remarkably brilliant light. So they've thrown lassos over our data to bring them back to Earth. But they're lassos that cannot tighten. We can't pull out of them, we may step out of them, or lift them off. Some of us used to have an impression of science sitting in calm, just judgment. Some of us now feel that a good many of our data have been lynched. If a crusade, perhaps from Mars to Jupiter, occur in the autumn seeds. If a crusade or outpouring of celestial vandals is seen from this Earth in the spring ice crystals. If we have record of a race of aerial beings, perhaps with no substantial habitat, seen by someone in India locusts. This will be disregarded. If locusts fly high, they freeze and fall in thousands. Nature, 47-581. Locusts that were seen in the mountains of India, at a height of 12,750 feet in swarms and dying by thousands. But no matter whether they fly high or fly low, no one ever wonders what's in the air when locusts are passing overhead, because of the falling of stragglers. I have especially looked this matter up. No mystery when locusts are flying overhead, constant falling of stragglers. Monthly notices, 30-135. An unusual phenomenon noticed by Lieutenant Herschel, October 17 and 18, 1870, while observing the sun, at Bangalore, India. Lieutenant Herschel had noticed dark shadows crossing the sun, but away from the sun there were luminous, moving images. For 2 days bodies passed in a continuous stream, varying in size and velocity. The lieutenant tries to explain, as we shall see, but he says, as it was, the continuous flight, for 2 whole days, in such numbers, in the upper regions of the air, of beasts that left no stragglers, is a wonder of natural history, if not of astronomy. He tried different focusing. He saw wings, perhaps he saw planes. He says that he saw upon the objects either wings or phantom-like appendages. Then he saw something that was so bizarre that, in the fullness of his 19th century-ness, he writes, there was no longer doubt, they were locusts or flies of some sort. One of them had paused. It had hovered. Then it had whisked off. The editor says that at that time countless locusts had descended upon certain parts of India. We now have an instance that is extraordinary in several respects. Super voyagers or super ravagers, angels, ragamuffins, crusaders, emigrants, aeronauts, or aerial elephants, or bison or dinosaurs, except that I think the thing had planes or wings. One of them has been photographed. It may be that in the history of photography no more extraordinary picture than this has ever been taken. L. Astronomy, 1885-347. That, at the observatory of Zacatecas, Mexico, August 12, 1883, about 2,500 meters above sea level, were seen a large number of small luminous bodies, entering upon the disk of the sun. M. Bonilla telegraphed to the observatories of the City of Mexico and of Puebla. Word came back that the bodies were not visible there. Because of this parallax, M. Bonilla placed the bodies relatively near the Earth. But when we find out what he called relatively near the Earth, birds or bugs or hosts of a super Tamerlane or army of a celestial Richard Coeur de Lion, our heresies rejoice anyway. His estimate is less distance than the moon. One of them was photographed. CL Astronomy, 1885-349. The photograph shows a long body surrounded by indefinite structures, or by the haze of wings or planes in motion. L Astronomy, 1887-66. Signor Rico, of the Observatory of Palermo, writes that, November 30, 1880, at 8:30 o'clock in the morning, he was watching the sun, when he saw, slowly traversing its disk, bodies in two long, parallel lines, and a shorter, parallel line. The bodies looked winged to him. But so large were they that he had to think of large birds. He thought of cranes. He consulted ornithologists, and learned that the configuration of parallel lines agrees with the flight formation of cranes. This was in 1880. Anybody now living in New York City, for instance, would tell him that also it is a familiar formation of aeroplanes. But, because of data of focus and subtended angles, these beings or objects must have been high. Sig. Rico argues that condors have been known to fly 3 or 4 miles high, and that heights reached by other birds have been estimated at 2 or 3 miles. He says that cranes have been known to fly so high that they have been lost to view. Our own acceptance, in conventional terms, is that there is not a bird of this earth that would not freeze to death at a height of more than 4 miles, that if condors fly 3 or 4 miles high, they are birds that are especially adapted to such altitudes. Sig. Rico's estimate is that these objects or beings or cranes must have been at least 5.5 miles high. 17. The vast dark thing that looked like a poised crow of unholy dimensions. Assuming that I shall ever have any readers, let him, or both of them, if I shall ever have such popularity as that, note how dim that bold black datum is at the distance of only 2 chapters. The question. Was it a thing or the shadow of a thing? Acceptance either way calls not for mere revision but revolution in the science of astronomy. But the dimness of the datum of only 2 chapters ago. The carved stone disk of Tarbes, and the rain that fell every afternoon for 20 if I haven't forgotten, myself, whether it was 23 or 25 days, upon one small area. We are all Thomsons, with brains that have smooth and slippery, though corrugated, surfaces, or that all intellection is associative, or that we remember that which correlates with a dominant, and a few chapters go by, and there's scarcely an impression that hasn't slid off our smooth and slippery brains, of Leverrier and the planet Vulcan. There are 2 ways by which irreconcilables can be remembered if they can be correlated in a system more nearly real than the system that rejects them, and by repetition and repetition and repetition.